Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, we were just talking before this podcast about the George Michael video for Freedom.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freedom. You gotta.
I don't know that.
I remember seeing it on TV back in the old days when, you know, I had nothing better to do than to watch lots and lots of MTV.
I think it's vintage 90s, isn't it?
Yeah. It was definitely vintage 90s. That would have been about the right time frame. But it was, as I remember, a pretty sexy video. And there are all sorts of sexy things going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, George Michael writes a word on the back of his wife's or girlfriend's back, right?
Yeah, actually his then girlfriend's back. And the message is monogamy. And it's interesting because, as you say, it's a very sexy video. And there are a lot of people who are seem to be expressing their sexual liberation.
Right. Which in a sense, George Michael would do later for realsies.
And it's different context.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a boudoir, but at least to the American public, it would be in a stall, which is fine. Whatever. The point is that the video is interesting because it seems to be about sexual liberation, and yet they bring up the point of monogamy.
Right. Yeah. And what is the relationship actually between these two things? Not that we're saying that a George Michael video from the early 90s has to really have a compact, solid message about the way the world works, but it's fascinating in light of this podcast where we are discussing the topic of monogamy.
Yeah, which we actually decided that we would dedicate a whole podcast to because we recently recorded a podcast about same-sex pairings in the animal world.
Yeah, or gay animals, if you will.
Gay animals, right.
Which again, carries a lot of anthropomorphic baggage with it.
Yeah, and it was interesting because we were talking about the Laysan albatrosses in Oahu, Hawaii, and 33% of that population is actually same-sex female-female pairings. And some of these albatrosses, or these birds, have been together since they started studying them 19 years previous to that. So it could have been that these birds were together for much longer than that. But the point is that monogamy seems to be in nature. It seems to be in different species. And humans really try hard, I think, to be monogamous.
Well, some try harder than others.
This is true. that were not always very successful. So we want to talk about that today.
Right. So animals. Let me just run through a few favorite examples of monogamous creatures. You have gibbon apes, you have wolves, termites, coyotes, barna owls, beavers, bald eagles, golden eagles, condors, swans, broga cranes.
Broga cranes.
Mm-hmm, sandhill cranes, pigeons, red-tailed hawks, black vultures, and apparently 3% of the 4,000 mammal species are monogamous. Of course, Homo sapiens aren't on that list, but we'll discuss that a little more as we go. Some of the examples that I came across in the research were pretty interesting. The black vultures, for instance, discourage infidelity. All nearby vultures attack any vulture caught philandering. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. For all their disgusting corpse eating, they're strict moralist. For me, one of the most amazing examples of the mate for life species is easily the anglerfish. To refresh, it's about the size of a teacup, deep sea animal. Frightening horror show jaws with big teeth and a lighted lure that hangs in front of its face. It's one of those, it's like one of the favorite deep sea fish of all like 10-year-old boys.
So it kind of has like a lantern?
Yeah, it has like a little lantern in front of it, and the idea is it attracts fish and then it eats it with its frightening jaws.
Mm.
So you have the female, right, and then you have the male who's kind of a little guy. And what he'll do is he'll come up and he will latch on to the back of the female with his sharp teeth, all right? And then he just keeps hanging on. Gradually, he grows into the female.
Mm-hmm.
Like physically, his skin grows into hers. They fuse together. He ends up getting his food through a common blood supply. His eyeballs atrophy. His organs waste away.
Uh-huh.
And he eventually becomes a sperm-producing organ. Like, the only thing that really stays intact are the testes. So he mates for life, but it's really hard to imagine.
It's because
imagine
he's fused.
It's because he's fused to her physically,
yeah.
And they become a single organism, basically. And it's up in the air whether that is a life worth living.
Talk about loss of identity in a committed relationship.
In a sense, it's like like two reactions to it to really anthropomorphize it. It's like, on one hand, the male anglerfish is kind of like the ultimate do-nothing husband, you know? We're always, he's there. It's just he's just a pair of testes that's feeding off of her. But then on the other hand, it's like he's kind of put in his place. Like, all right, like he may not have any other purpose, so he's just reduced to his one thing and just becomes basically an organ.
I was about to say, he can't even get away.
Yeah.
He can't even have some me time. That's amazing. Well, this isn't quite as dramatic, but I wanted to talk about prairie voles.
Okay,
because these guys, 90% of North American prairie voles spend their entire adult life with one partner. And researchers thought that was pretty interesting and wanted to get in the mind, so to speak, of these prairie voles and try to figure out what made them so monogamous. And it turns out that the monogamous males have high levels of the hormone vasopressin in their brains, and promiscuous male voles have a low level of vasopressin in theirs. And so what they began to think is that, well, perhaps this is a good explanation, this high level of vasopressin in males. What about humans? And it's not really an apples to apples thing. Some people like to extrapolate and say, well, maybe that's the same thing with humans. And while voles are social creatures like humans, they do have a very different brain from ours. That's pretty obvious. And in particular, prairie voles' brains are studded with receptors for vasopressin and oxytocin. And that's really what results in that high pair bonding instance. So I think it's interesting. Again, I feel like people extrapolate those results sometimes and try to say that humans have the same situation going on, since we also have vasopressin and oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's hard to say. At least the jury is out.
But the idea, especially with the voles, is there's this bonding that's taking place, and it's resulting favorable chemicals in the brain. It's almost like a drug to them.
Exactly. Yeah. That's their part of the reward center is going nuts every time they get a little oxytocin and vasopressin. So, yeah, that makes sense that they would want to stay in a, you know, for lack of other terms, a committed relationship because they're getting something out of it. And, in fact, if you look that number, 90% of the North American voles are monogamous, then that bears out this whole idea that they're getting something out of it. But according to the Population Reference Bureau, the probability of an adult, a human, getting married and presumably being monogamous at some point during their life is still nearly 90%. But the problem here is that 50% of these marriages end in divorce.
Okay.
Which points to this whole idea that we really do want to be monogamous. Maybe there are benefits for us, which we'll discuss. But again, we're still not great at it.
Well, this leads us to another animal, and that being the gray lag goose.
Yes. Yeah. Also, another highly social creature. Researchers at Austria's Konrad Lorenz research station found that while some of these birds remained calm in flight, others were extremely stressed and they wanted to find out. And they implanted heart rate monitors in 25 of the geese. And they found that the geese who were in monogamous relationships, I guess you could say, had heart rates about 10% lower during flights, than the heart rates of single birds here.
Right. And again, it's not apples to apples with humans. You can't say, it works with these geese, so this must be what's going on in humans. But it is interesting to look at that they are less stressed out. They know what they're doing that evening, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pizza in a movie. But also, this is interesting. While resting, the female heart rates rose when their mates were more than a few feet away, but stress then was lowered when their mates returned. And this is from Claudia Washer. She's an ethologist at Austria's research station, the Austria Konrad Lorenz. She said, an increase in heart rate is an investment. You'll have more energy available. But if you don't do that, if you're in safe mode, you'll save more energy, which could have a long-term advantage for you. So in the animal world, this makes sense. If you're pairing up, you're probably, safer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Safer in numbers. And you don't have to expend a lot of energy looking behind your back.
Right. Well, even on a human level, it's like people who are paired up, they can sort of double team problems.
Right.
And you can let your guard down a little, knowing the other person's looking out. We tend not to sleep in shifts in human relationships.
You don't?
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't either. It would be weird. There's a lot of data out there that says that people who are in couples, men and women who are married, tend to live longer, especially men. And some of this, though, they'll point to the social network, the social support system that's in place that helps to reduce stress and helps to bolster up your immune system, actually.
Huh.
So in humans, there are definitely reasons where you could see what this would be an advantage to become part of a monogamous pair.
Huh. But then why stop there? Why marry one person? Why not marry several and then just reap the benefits?
Oh, well, we'll talk about this right after this break.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. And we've been talking, I mean, the podcast is about monogamy, but in attempt to understand monogamy, we have to discuss its opposite number, polygamy.
That's right. And more specifically, polygyny, which is different from polygamy in the sense that polygyny is based on one male with several females, right?
Okay.
Polyamory is a whole another thing here. Polyamory is many different people participating in different configurations of relationships that are actually usually monogamous. But just wanted to point that out, that okay. We're talking more about polygyny here.
Okay.
In a paper called The Puzzle of Monogamous Marriage, authors Joseph Henrich, Robert Boyd, and Peter J. Richardson said that they wanted to try to get to the bottom of why we are not exclusively a polygynous society,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all cultures across the world. And they say that the anthropological record indicates that historically, approximately 85% of human societies have permitted men to more than one wife. And both empirical and evolutionary considerations suggest that large absolute differences in wealth should favor more polygynous marriages. Yet, monogamous marriages have spread across Europe and more recently across the globe, even as absolute wealth differences have expanded. So they wanted to know why, because it seems on paper, like, why wouldn't you just have a polygynous society, right?
Right.
If those were the stakes.
Yeah, and why doesn't someone like Donald Trump have just multiple wives, right? I mean, at one time, as opposed
right.
to a series.
Right, right. It, yeah, and that's particularly the case with powerful men, right? Because
mm-hmm.
the more wives, more wealth you amass, the more stature.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would say that women would be attracted to that powerful man and would want to align in that configuration of polygynous marriage because you would reap the benefits of that. This is from Slate.com's Is Polygamy Really So Awful? Women are usually thought of as the primary victims of polygynous marriages. But as cultural anthropologist Joe Henrich, the guy we were just talking about, documents, the institution also causes problems for the young, low-status males denied wives by older, wealthy men who have hoarded all the women. And those young men create problems for everybody.
So, yeah.
So we're getting to the meat of it right here.
Well, I can't help, but I'm sure a lot of people have already are already thinking of the HBO series Big Love,
mm-hmm.
which dealt with this kind of situation among an offshoot of mainstream Mormons. A fictional group in this particular TV series. But you see that even in this show, which I found the first few seasons rather enjoyable from, you know, character development standpoint. But you would have, like, one individual, like the villain of the show has multiple wives of
mm-hmm.
varying ages. And then at times the younger men are not, I mean, they end up having to leave because they don't have the opportunity to claim a wife. So you end up having, like, wife monopolization. by the older members of a society.
Exactly, yeah. Right? There's a dearth of women available. And Henrich and Boyd and Richardson say that when you have unmarried men and you have a scarcity of women, that is correlated with increased rates of rape, theft, murder, and substance abuse.
Right. Well, because on one level, you're liable to partake of more risky behavior because you don't have as much at stake. You know, you don't have this.
You don't have an investment in family.
Right. You don't have an investment in family. You don't have investment in children. You probably don't have like a well-decorated house or anything. You know, the toilet is probably disgusting. All these things, and then suppose you are really focused on climbing up the ladder. You're going to be more willing to take those risks to get the kind of financial footing that you would be required to claim one of these lovely ladies.
That's right. You may steal, right, to
right.
try to accumulate wealth. Also, they said that these guys would engage in crimes to not only just amass enough wealth to attract women, but also kidnap other men's wives, which saying that here in the United States seems kind of crazy to say that out loud, unless you're talking about Borat. But, you know, this is another instance why this doesn't really work across the scales. Although there are some instances where a polygynous society could work. We know of the Mosul community in China.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is a matriarchal society. And that's one where I don't know if you would call it, we actually wouldn't even call it polygynous or polygamous, but in that society, women have decided that they won't pair with men. They will have sex with men or even relationships or have a mate in a man, but that man does not live with them. Mm-hmm. If they have children with that man, he does not raise them. In that society, men are more useful as uncles.
Huh.
So the uncles actually help to raise the children and not the actual father of those children.
Hmm.
And it's a very peaceful society, and it's become a bit of a something for tourists to sort of Google, but
that's a shame. But speaking of the children, it's interesting. Some of these studies we're looking at that dealt with the effect on the children in these situations, like the more related to like the amount of attention they can get and how much time is spent on the children in a polygynous family versus a monogamous family.
Yeah. Children definitely suffer in this scenario. Henrich cites a study of 19th century Mormon households, and 45 of them are headed by wealthy men, generally with multiple wives, and 45 are headed by poorer men, generally with one wife. And what they found is that the children of the poorer men with one wife actually fared a lot better than the wealthy polygynous fathers. And the reason is that they think that those, even though they were wealthy and they had resources, they were still spread thin, the polygynous fathers, and they weren't able to invest that much time in their children.
Right. I mean, if there's just the one, it's easy to say, yeah, I'll be at your karate practice. But if there are like 14 of them, you might not make a single karate practice.
Right. Yeah. And this is so important in children's development, even with like their language skills, is to have that one-on-one time with their parents in order to get a hold on you know, the building blocks of the world. So if you don't have that attachment to your parent, then it's possible that you would have some issues and actually developing. And what they found is that the poor kids actually live longer than the wealthy kids. And then the other part of this, too, is that you have women kind of getting the short stick in polygynous marriages. That would seem obvious, right?
Right, because they end up, they're sort of traded off at a very young age to older men.
Right.
They're treated like a commodity as opposed to an individual in some of these cases. And I mean, you can just easily imagine, like, it's going to be a rare 16 or even like 18-year-old that's going to really have the assurance to really stand up, A, to an older man in one of these societies, but then and then B, to other women that are already a part of that family.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Right? One of the studies we were looking at actually pointed out that, like, in the particular study, there were no examples of sister wives, for lack of a better word.
The TLC show that you're referring to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think sister wife was the old
is a term.
It was the old term.
Okay.
But there were no examples of the sister wives all getting along well. Like the situation tended to breed a certain amount of contempt among the ladies.
That's right. They said, Henrich said that in ethnographic surveys of 69 polygamous cultures, they reveal no cases where co-wife relations could be described as harmonious. Which, again, would make sense because everybody's trying to vie for resources and time. I don't think everybody's sitting around combing each other's hair and singing Kumbaya.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, I also can't help but, you know, having not analyzed that study in enormous detail, but, you know, what relationship is could be described as 100% harmonious, you know, so... It's like, are they applying a separate standard to these families than they wouldn't be applying to a study of a monogamous relationship?
Well, see, and now, and to go back to monogamous relationships, particularly in the United States, where the divorce rate is so high, there are a lot of psychologists that will point to this and say, the reason why we can't stay monogamous is because we have these ideals of what a relationship should be, and mm-hmm. we can't necessarily suss out the reality versus the fantasy.
Right.
And that's, of course, not part and parcel of every divorce that happens, but they say a lot of that is involved in why we decide to part ways.
Right. That society says that we should be able to achieve this, but then our brains and our behavior patterns, they all end up pointing in this rather different direction.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of it is, you know, just genetic, right, in terms of what sort of directs our behavior.
Yeah.
On an individual basis. I'm not saying wholesale males and females. And then part of it is cultural, what we believe we need for ourselves out of a relationship and what a relationship means to us.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, it just seems like, it does seem like a no-brainer that while like a relationship between two individuals is going to have a certain amount of complexity to it, mm-hmm. a certain amount of ins and outs. For every additional person added to that relationship, even if they are, you know, in they have the status of a sister wife as opposed to like a full pledged, you know, equal part of this unit, it's just going to breed more and more complexity and more feelings of distrust or, you know.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Which is probably why, if you look back at the human species, why we have been primarily monogamistic. Mm-hmm. It used to be that we thought that because we were trying to spread our genes, and that men were certainly, going after more women to procreate with them in order mm-hmm. to do that, that we really sprung from more of a polygynous society. But if you look at the stats, and this is really interesting, this is from a Live Science article, it says that we've pretty much always skewed monogamous. Dr. Damian Laputa, an investigator at the St. Justine University Hospital Research Center, headed a team that analyzed genomic data from three population samples, Africa, Asia, and Europe. And completely monogamy would yield a one-to-one breeding ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
The study found that the breeding ratio varied between 1.1 and 1.4 according to population. So 1.1 in Asia, 1.3 in Europe, and 1.4 in Africa. And those stats really don't point to an overtly polygamous society overall for the human species.
Hmm.
So to your point, less complexity is probably better, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Yeah. That doesn't, you know, necessarily answer the question about why we can't always stay monogamous or why some people can. But it's certainly a field that is ripe for more investigation.
Well, let's look forward into the future. What does the future hold for monogamy?
Okay. We've talked about in our 999 Birthday Candles podcast about the very real possibility that we might live to 500 years.
Right.
Be the ripe old age of 500 years, maybe even 1,000 years, depending on how well we can maintain ourselves, right, with the current technology and then the technology in the next 50 years, 100 years.
Right. And if two individuals can grow apart over the course of, say, a decade, then there's definitely a higher risk that they're going to grow apart over the course of like 500 years.
Right.
And this assuming that there's enough neuroplasticity in play that one is changing and that these 400-year-old individuals are not just sort of neurologically mummified versions of their past self.
Right.
You know, but assuming, you know, life continues and people are pursuing interest and all, then you could easily imagine that from century to century, or even from half century to half century, you're growing into new people. And then by necessity, you're pairing up with new people.
Think about how much you change from age of 20 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine that, you know, like you say, turning 500 and then, you know, 200 years later.
Right.
You're going to have a completely different perspective and probably you're going to have many different partners, right? So does monogamy exist in the future, I think, is what we're asking.
Right.
And already, I mean, there have been people who say we should have marital term limits, for us now, like 15, 20-year contracts. In which couples agree to invest time to sustain a family mm-hmm. and to be together. So the question is, what does that look like in the future? And, what about reproduction? Because a lot of this is predicated on reproduction, right? Like
right.
Pairings get together because they're a lot stronger together to raise a family. This is the sort of evidence that we've been looking into in the animal world and with humans. And so, a lot of people are saying that reproduction is going to start to happen in the labs much more so than it is today.
Right. I mean, it's already becoming more of a situation where, reproductive choices such as artificial insemination, the use of donor eggs, the use of surrogate mothers, and then, of course, widespread adoption. These are all examples of where the classic model, of the family unit and of reproduction has shifted somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's easy to imagine the future will continue to shift.
Well, and especially, we're talking about possibly having a uterine replicator. So
right.
You could actually gestate a child, again, in the lab. So to your point, how does that shift society if we no longer have to pair up in order to at least accomplish some of these aspects of life.
Yeah. I mean, society has always changed with its technology, and it's going to continue to do so, even as the technology affects such such basic human activities as the spreading of one's genes.
And as we discussed in the Ladies on Planet Earth podcast, that we already see a trend in which women are choosing not to marry or marry later since they're better educated and they have better earnings. So just, you know, present day, you know, you wonder how much of monogamy is going to stay the same, at least as how we perceive monogamy.
So do we end up becoming the anglerfish where ladies are the man is just basically reduced to some testes in a tube somewhere? And it's just a race of ferocious ladies with sharp teeth and glowing things protruding from their forehead. I don't know.
I don't know. That's kind of...
Living in the deep ocean.
I mean, I got to say, that's awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my husband. I don't necessarily want him to glom onto my back. but that makes for a nice little short story right there.
Yes. The anglerfish, one of nature's wonders. All right. Well, let's call over the robot. I have a couple of quick messages here to read. All right. These are both in response to our Hug It Out podcast. We heard from listener Amanda. Amanda writes and says, I'm a hugger! Exclamation point. I grew up in a family that did not hug. My sister, that is 11 years older than me, cannot stand to be touched. So when I came around, I was a shocker to everyone. Me wanting hugs and touch so much got me the nickname Klingon. Awesome. Well, that's interesting that Amanda sent that in, because it reminds me of, actually, I received a text message from my sister related to this, and my sister Allie writes in and says, just listen to your podcast on hugging. I have a picture of the three of us here on my desk. She's referring to herself, me, and our sister Lucy, who my sister Allie sometimes calls loopers for some reason.
She says,
I have a picture of the three of us here on my desk. In it, you were giving me a side hug, which we refer to as the awkward hug that I learned from my mom. He says, and Loopers is standing a foot away because she's not a hugger. So,
Wait. What about Allie? I mean, does she engage in like a hug?
You know, I'm not sure. She's definitely a hugger. Definitely more so than me or Lucy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess
it's interesting that there's three levels of hugginess in your family.
I think so. I mean, and you can sort of, I guess you might be able to make some argument about like birth order there, because I'm the oldest and I'm just kind of an awkward hugger. Lucy is the middle child. Mm-hmm. She's not a hugger at all. Doesn't really like to be touched. And then Allie is certainly the more gregarious of the three of us, and she seems she's definitely more of a hugger. She's more apt to talk about her feelings and all. So.
Yeah, but that might be genetic. I mean, she might be the double G variant that we were talking about, and so she's got the receptors for it, and she might be a hug junkie.
She could be. She was also born in Canada. I don't know. Like she was born. Well, that doesn't make sense at all, does it?
I don't know. We have to ask our Canadian listeners if they're all, there's something in the water.
Well, I know that generally the stereotype of the Canadian is that the Canadian is more reserved. Canadian hug is not a thing, right?
I've heard of Canadian bacon, but not the Canadian hug.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, Canadians can straighten me out on this. Or my sister can straighten me out if she hears this and send me more texts about it. But anyway, so there you go. There's some feedback on the hugs episode. If you would like to share some feedback on hugs, on monogamy, on anglerfish and their strange ways, then you can find us on Twitter, where we are Blow the Mind. You can also find us on Facebook. Just do a search in Facebook for Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and you will probably find us.
And you can also send us an email at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.